This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is the evening edition with Lynn and Calvin. It is 6:36 in the evening and it's time for our next story. So this actually came out yesterday, but we wanted to kind of take a moment to process. So Penang just recently launched its facial recognition system for CCTVs installed on the island, making it the first in the country to introduce the technology.
Penang Chief Minister Chow Kon Yeo said the system uses artificial intelligence to recognise faces captured by CCTVs installed by the Penang Island City Council, that's the MPPP, hoping that the system will help the police track down wanted criminals and reduce crime rates in the state.
How the system works, it can trace wanted persons, helped by the fact that it's fully linked with the police operations room in Penang. The chief minister warned that anyone who wants to commit crimes in Penang should know that they are being watched by the CCTVs installed by MBPP and the police. So upon detecting a face resembling those on the police wanted list, the system by which the high definition imaging captured by the cameras and seen at the 24-hour CCTV control rooms in Komta, they will then instantly alert the police. So that's kind of an outline of how it'll work out.
And then the Central Command Centre at the Penang Police Headquarters will send its officers to check out the suspect at the scene. The camera will continue to track the suspect on the move until the police arrive. Most of the CCTVs were installed in hotspots or places with high frequency of crimes, and also at road junctions and busy main roads for traffic control and enforcement.
The system can also trace various traffic violations such as illegal parking, vehicles that use emergency lanes, as well as measure the water levels when it rains and facial recognition of people captured by the CCTV. Penang Police Chief Commander Datuk Sri A. Thaivagan assured the public that there will not be an issue of privacy infringement, which is, I think, top of mind for people who are concerned about that. He said the database is secured by the police and the faces are only of those in the wanted list in Penang, adding that photos of wanted suspects are only shared for monitoring purposes and to identify their movements.
Local Government Housing Development and Town and Country Planning Committee Chairman Jagdeep Singh Deo suggested that the federal government look into implementing this technology nationwide.
Of course, it's been used in other countries and it's been used in other applications. This is the first in our country, but we did recently discuss a story where Taylor Swift had allegedly been using facial recognition technology to detect stalkers at her concerts. At the time, we spoke with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage, and he shared his concerns about the use of the technology and surveillance in general.
I mean, there's always a trade-off when you conduct any kind of surveillance. So we accept that governments conduct surveillance, for example, on other governments as part of their efforts to keep us safe. But even those efforts can go beyond what is kind of ethically or morally acceptable. That's why we rely on lawmakers to create an environment and a framework for these technologies to be used. So there have been, especially in the US, for example, there's been a lot of pushback against police agencies using drones as surveillance tools, because there's this risk that when you put all of these technologies together, CCTV, drones, facial recognition, biometric data, that you have this way to track every single individual 24 hours a day. And none of us want to live in that kind of society.
Matt also emphasized further on the need for laws regulating the use of facial recognition.
Well, the laws don't really say very much. That's one of the big problems with facial recognition. So we have laws, for example, that regulate whether you can record people's conversations, but we don't necessarily have laws that regulate whether you can scan their faces and then what you do with that data once you have it. Because the real risk is in the compilation of this data. It's in what it can be used for, and also how it's stored, where it's stored, who it's stored by, because there's also that very real risk that those data stores can be breached, that the information can be stolen, and that somebody can then, you know, steal all of that information about you and use it for their own ends. Now, that might be a criminal organization, that might be a hostile government. You really don't know, and that's why we need urgently to have these controls on facial recognition technology, because it is an area that's coming on leaps and bounds. And it's something that we kind of take for granted. We forget how often we appear on camera, and we don't think about how those images can be recorded.
That was Matt Armitage from Culture Pop commenting on a story several weeks ago about the use of facial recognition at one of Taylor Swift's concerts. And now, though, it has officially landed on our shores, or at least the shores of Penang. And we're going to hear from another point of view. We have on the line lawyer Fong Cheng Leong. He specializes in areas relating to cyber laws, privacy and data protection, among other IT-related matters. Cheng Leong, thanks for joining us. So what are your thoughts on the use of facial recognition in CCTVs in Penang?
Well, first of all, I think it's a good move to clamp down to catch all these criminals. Secondly, of course, there are privacy issues, but it largely depends on how it is implemented. Assuming that, let's say, they record each and every of the people who walk around, let's say, on the streets, so long they don't categorize, let's say, for example, they have a database of all Malaysians with a facial database, and you know they are able to trace whether this certain person has been on every person. You know, every person that walks on this street can be traced from that data. But if it's targeted, let's say the recording is targeted to a certain person, which is like for example that criminal, a wanted criminal, then I think that's fine. The only issue is what are they going to do with the data that they receive? Are they going to make a profile out of these people who walk into the street and from, let's say, take the data from another place and it matches it. And then they will see, for example, let's say they will know that, for example, this day I was in Penang, notwithstanding I'm not on the Penang the police database.
What impact will this have on the regular person walking on the streets in Penang?
Well, I don't think there's any massive impact on Malaysians or anyone walking the street. If one thing is, if they know that there is a camera recording them, then they would, of course, I think twice before they do anything naughty. For example, run the red light, or come down, or let's say a road bully comes down and beat up on another person on the road. So I think it becomes more of any person on the street will be conscious of what they will do on the road. They will know that, you know, if they do something bad, they will be caught, somehow recorded in a way.
And how does this sit with our privacy laws, like the PDPA, the Personal Data Protection Act?
The privacy laws, like PDPA, especially our Personal Data Protection Act, does not apply to the federal and state government. So it's only in respect of commercial transactions the PDPA would apply. Here, the government is not obliged to comply with the PDPA. And in respect of privacy, all these recordings are done in open space, I assume, or open space as in, in the public. So any person walking on the street has no expectation of privacy. So, they basically, a person on the street has no right to privacy, other than, what this they're wearing underneath.
Right. What kind of ramifications will this have in court in terms of being evidence?
Evidence-wise, shouldn't be an issue. Nowadays, if you want to tender electronic evidence in court, it's pretty simple. You either ask the maker of the evidence or you tender a certificate to say that, this is evidence, this electronic evidence. It's pretty easy to tender, Anyway, the current usage of this video recording is to track the wanted criminal rather than to use it as evidence to prove a certain crime. But I will foresee that this kind of evidence will be used, for example, a person fighting on the street or a person got beaten up on the street, they will use the same CCTV evidence to use it against the accused.
So as we heard earlier with Matt Armitage, facial recognition technology is something that's still rather controversial in terms of its implications for privacy. Are you concerned about future applications of this facial recognition technology and what it would mean for us?
Well, I'm not we need to balance the rights of the security, security rights and also the right to privacy. While we cannot have a full right to privacy and disregard the right to security of every other citizens. To me, for the current purpose, I think that's fine, but if they want to use the CCTV evidence for any other purpose, then we need to look at it case-to-case basis.
Cheng Leong, thank you so much for your perspective. That was lawyer Fong Cheng Leong. And we want to hear from you. What do you think of this move to include facial recognition technology in our security? I mean, is this something that you would welcome seeing nationwide? Because I do think that we're kind of headed in that direction.
It still rubs me the wrong way. It's very, very creepy. I don't know, but it's like I'm off a bit. My mind's all over the place about this because when I go out, I kind of don't expect privacy or, I guess, in any way, personal space because I am putting myself out there.
In a public space.
Yeah, I'm constantly being recorded when I'm outside, either by the CCTVs, be they in a public place or even in a mall that I walk into or even like in the office as well, right?
Having said that, I mean, yes, you might give up your expectations of privacy. That's one thing. But I do wonder about the accuracy of the technology as well.
Right.
Because if we're talking about wanted criminals who presumably know that they're wanted, can't they just kind of change how they look? I mean, if you're a man, you can just grow a beard. I'm just wondering what the technology does in order to kind of address that. David on WhatsApp says, facial recognition in London has produced hundreds of false positives and not caught one criminal. So that is pretty much exactly my concern encapsulated in a tweet, in a message. And we're going to be speaking next week with the Chief Technology Officer of IBM. And IBM are actually the people who are supplying the technology to Penang. So hopefully we'll get better insight into how that works. You can send questions through that you would like asked, I think, now. You can also tell us what you think about this. Do you think that it's a good move generally to have CCTV, to have this sort of facial recognition technology and monitoring? Do you think it will make our streets safer? WhatsApp us and let us know. 018-789-8899 is that number. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, now we head to some messages and then some music. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.